Whoa, what's going on? He's back at the desk. He's back downstairs. What happened? I thought he worked it out so everything would be upstairs. Yeah, we moved furniture around in the house again. we have a hard time making decisions when it comes to where things actually should go in this house. We're constantly moving things around and trying new things. So my son was being homeschooled right there, but now he's on the other side of this wall in a room over there. So I'm not bothering him by being in this spot currently at the moment. So now I can record. I can come back down here and record at my desk with all my cool stuff back here. So that's neat that I get to be back down where all my stuff is. And I can start working down here. Now I got to clean all this up because, of course, it's been sitting here piling up with garbage for weeks. But anyway, so today, welcome back to the Nerd News Desk. I am Dirt, your host, of course, part of the Pop Culture Network, popculturenetwork.com or thepopc.net. Today, we're going to be taking a look at comics coming out this week, and I actually read the new Batman already. So the new Tom King is out, and we've got James Tynion IV. Okay, sure. And he's in there writing. And how does this first issue feel? Does it work? Do I feel better about Batman again? We're going to talk about all of that stuff now. The one sad thing, though, that by doing the podcast this way is I'm not using my Castle Grayskull, my portable podcasting system. That's kind of a shame, but whatever. We'll still use that from time to time. If I travel or anything, go somewhere, I'll still have that. Or occasionally I might need to go up there if it's a holiday and the kids are home and they're watching TV or something. So it's not completely gone, but we are going to try this. Hopefully I'm not getting too loud. I'm using a different microphone. I'm using the Samson mic again, which I haven't used in a long time. I've been using the Snowball upstairs. So hopefully this audio is coming through clear. And for those of you listening on audio only, again, thank you for tuning in. We're going to be talking about comics. You're going to be missing out on looking at the things, but you know, I'm still discussing them. And I have read a bunch of comics in the last week or so. You know, with the holiday, with the time off, with all the stuff that's been going on, anytime that I've found an opportunity to sit and read, I have been reading. I think the only real thing I'm not caught up on is Immortal Hulk. I think that might be the only thing I'm not caught up on. But I've read, I think, pretty much everything else that's not a trade or graphic novel that I've picked up along the way. So some of the Kickstarter stuff I haven't read yet, but anything, the regular monthly issue stuff, the floppies, all of those I am caught up on, finally. And just a quick reminder, a note, this Thursday on the Click Nation Comic Book Chronicles, we will be talking about the best of 2019, well, the best and worst, actually, of 2019. So you already know that my favorite series of the year ended up being Justice League. It was a constant, more good than bad, had some fun stuff. It ended up being a better event book than the events that DC was actually putting out. So at least you know that much ahead of time, but tune in, check that out. You can look for the Click Nation on YouTube. It's K-L-I-Q, like the click, Wolfpack WCW. WWF back in the day, and I did the wrong thing. It'd be Wolfpack, but Wolfpack was also the click. That was the idea originally. All right, so let's talk about comic books. And so for that, we need to flip to the browser. We are previewsworld.com, looking at the new releases. Let's go ahead and talk about Image first, Dark Horse, IDW, and then when we get to DC, we'll talk about Batman a little bit. Okay, so first, looking at Image Comics, Battle Pug, again, I don't know, I kind of wish I'd gotten into that. Maybe I'll go back and pick those up. Now that I'm caught up on stuff, it's time to add more stuff to my list, right? So I can start getting low again. Clock, Matt Hawkins. Let's see, something about Global Conspiracy, World War III, Matt Hawkins. Who is Matt Hawkins? Why does that name sound familiar? What else did he do? Tales of Honor. Okay, that was based off the video game Eden's Fall. Think Tank? I wasn't a big fan of Think Tank. Postal. Postal was okay. Wasn't great. Let's see. Matt Hawkins. Postal Stairway. Oh, Swing. Okay, never mind. So much for this guy. No. He also did The Tithe, which was bad, so no. Not going to read that. Okay, let's see. Gideon Falls. I still love Gideon Falls. I did get all caught up on this. This is good, but it's so dense and it's really difficult to follow sometimes. It does fall into the pit occasionally. One of the things I dislike about modern comics is one of the things that it will do occasionally where it gets into these two-page spreads and you have lots of little boxes, you know, like something, like someone's going crazy or whatever. So you see, you know, it's a picture of them and they're inside their mind and there's like some sort of crazy cityscape around them and they fall off the edge and you see boxes of them falling as they go down and it wastes a two-page spread. It looks cool, but as far as like storytelling, it's not really doing a whole lot to convey story. It just kind of looks nifty, but it wastes a lot of space. It's a two-page spread, and it does do that a lot, which is, it's really annoying to lose pages like that. So as much as I enjoy it, and it's a lot of fun, it's not my number one book because it does fall into some of those traps sometimes where it worries a little more about the art than the story, and that, you know, causes some problems. Moonshine, I have not followed in a long time. Oblivion Song, after the first, like, two or three issues, I gave up on that. It's just not good. Dark Horse Comics, let's see. Butcher of Paris. Actually, Butcher of Paris 1 was really fun. And I say fun. Fun is probably the wrong term to talk about a serial killer in Nazi-occupied France. But it's a good book. It really is. For one thing, it deals with things from a very historically accurate point of view. The writer of this, Stephanie Phillips, I believe it is, she did a lot of research into it. Apparently, her family was in France during this time, so it has something to do with her family history, whatever, so she did a lot of research into it. So, of course, this is based on a true story, first of all. So she took elements of that true story and then, you know, kind of built a narrative around it. I'm not sure, you know, how much is supposed to be real and how much of it is her imagination, you know, just telling a good story. But nonetheless, it was very entertaining and the artwork is good. The artwork has this European style to it. If you've read any European comics in the last, I'd say, 30 years, and you know that kind of Mobius style, that 2000 AD type of style, it has a lot of that feeling to it. And it comes across as a really well-structured story. You're not exactly sure who the key focus of this is going to be. It's probably going to be this detective, or it might be the killer. You're not exactly sure. But it does a good job of introducing characters. The story took off at a good pace. Really enjoyed how that one played out. So looking forward to number two of that. Stranger Things, I could not get into the Stranger Things comics, and I still haven't watched all of season 2, much less season 3 of that, so we'll move on from there. My daughter gets My Little Pony, so we buy every issue of My Little Pony, because my daughter collects those, she loves those. G.I. Joe, Real American Hero, man, I kind of wish I hadn't stopped reading this. Is this still Larry Hama? Yeah, it's still Larry Hama. Doing the book. I kind of wish I read G.I. Joe a lot in the 80s, 90s. And then, of course, when they brought it back, I didn't get into it like I should have. I probably should have. Oh, well. All right, Batman. This is Batman. James Tynion IV, Danny Mickey, Tony Daniel. I don't know. Who's the colorist? It says on the thing, Maury, but it doesn't say who Maury is in here. Okay, so basically, one of the big gripes that I have had with comics, and I just spoke of this a minute ago, is how comics spend a lot of time wasted on the visuals. And I know wasted is kind of a overdone term for it. It's a little over the top. It's I can't think of that term. But you're saying it at an nth degree high to get the point across. But it's wasted on the artwork. It spends so much of a focus on displaying things visually that it ignores the ability of getting a plot across to the reader. That's one of the problems Tom King has had in Batman. And one of the biggest problems was that he lost the narrative voice. He spent so much time just showing the visual and some dialogue. And when he did go into narrative, it was someone reciting a poem or something like that. It didn't do anything to really push the plot forward. And oftentimes he would spend 3 issues doing what could be done in 1 issue, or he would push the story to a certain point and then fall back and do flashback stuff of what other characters were doing or something else going on, and just kind of leave the story hanging right in the middle of something important. And it really kind of killed the flow of everything. And I guess he thought he was trying to do something, you know, poetic and grand with it, but it really distracted from the urgency. When you're getting ready to do a battle, and then suddenly you spend 3 issues doing flashback of something else, or, you know, whatever, having Batman and Catwoman go on vacation and stuff, it really kills the urgency of that battle that was going to take place. So what we have with this particular issue, Batman is working now with Lucius Fox. Of course, Alfred was killed by Tom King. He's still dead, as for now. I don't know if that's going to be undone. I'm certainly hoping so, because it's a really bad move. Regardless, he's working with Lucius, and he's inspired by Selina Kyle, Catwoman, of course, to work out his grand design for Gotham City. He wants to make changes to Gotham City. He wants to clean it up. He's got a particular way he wants to do things. And so she pushes him. Lucius pushes him. He's going to do this stuff to move forward. So we still have Selina Kyle there, and they're still in a relationship. We're not getting away from that, even though Tom King's going to be writing that story. That is still a big part of this. It's still a focus of this particular story. But one, it brings back that narration. And I'm so happy for that, because that adds so much more to the story. It conveys so much more about what's going on than just spending 3 pages of just showing Batman flying across rooftops or whatever, reciting a poem, okay? So we get back to a good, solid type of storytelling. Second of all, in the middle of Bruce trying to put forward his new things, Deathstroke appears, so we've got a Batman Deathstroke battle going back and forth. While that's happening, Selina Kyle is at this event. It's a Wayne Foundation, some sort of event, charity event, whatever. She's waiting for Bruce to show up. He didn't show up, but she knows it's somebody else. And this leads into what is going to be part of the problem going forward. Selina, of course, being a former cat burglar, a former villain, she was part of an initial planning stage for a reshaping of Gotham City for villains, for crime. To make things work for a specific group of criminals. So now she's starting to notice that some of that is creeping up. So we have Bruce working for his ends, his means to fix Gotham, and this group of villains that Selina has some insight to working for their way of corrupting and bringing down Gotham. And that's going to be the loggerheads going forward. Now, as far as Deathstroke's appearance, he's not on the cover, and it's not really pushed as a big deal that he's there, and it really ends up not being a real huge event there. It's an appearance. It's more like when Batman showed up in Deathstroke early on in issue 5 or 6 of the Deathstroke series. You know, he was just kind of there. He was there for an issue, and then he was gone. That's kind of Deathstroke's thing here. He's just kind of there. He's in a little bit, then he's back out. It's not a huge crossover, but it is an appearance. But it's back to solid storytelling. James Tinian IV is not someone who I typically get inspired by with his browsing in writing in comics, his storytelling, but it's solid. It's fine, and fine in this case is actually pretty good because of the way it's been the last few years. There's also the variant cover, which is this painted one, which this one does show Deathstroke. So that is focused on the Deathstroke, and that's fine for a variant because even though it's not a major focus of that story, although I guess Deathstroke could reappear now that they've established that he's there, he could be coming back. So that's something there. Let's see, not reading any of those. Ooh, Brave and the Bold. What is this one? Batman and Catwoman, 1980s, Earth 2. Oh, the Earth 2 wedding. Okay, so this is back with the good Catwoman. And this is, wow, this is going to be a dollar comic. I'm definitely buying this one. Even though it's not a facsimile, I wish it was a facsimile, but nonetheless, this is the Earth 2 Batman who eventually died and was replaced by Robin. The two of them had a daughter. She turned out to be the Huntress. So I liked this version of them much more than the one that we ended up getting in Tom King's run. Let's see here. Genlock, Gotham City Monsters, no. Harley Quinn, Poison Ivy, not a fan. Hawkman, I can't believe this book. I actually dropped this book because I figured it was going to end, and it kept going. So now I'm wondering if maybe I should go back and catch up on it. Robert Vendetti, writer on this. He's, again, a solid storyteller. I usually enjoy a lot of the stuff that he does. This cover kind of has a Dennis Cowan look to it, but it's not. It's Someone and Palmer. I'm trying to read these names here, but I can't quite make it out. Pat Olaf. Pat Olaf and Tom Palmer. But again, this is tying back into Year of the Villain. Not a big fan of that stuff. Batman Who Laughs, all that, but whatever. I might go back and go back to the most recent trade maybe and pick up from there. See what I can read. Supergirl, I stopped reading. Jodie Houser, I don't know, she might be fine. Oh yeah, but this is again another Year of the Villain thing, so I might wait until that's over and if they're still doing stuff. Secondary cover here, this is Derek Chu. These used to be Art Germ for a long time. They sold really well. Derek Chu has a similar style, not quite the same, but it is similar. It's close, and it's a good style. Although I'm not going to buy him just for the cover. But nonetheless, Arrow, Mary Jane, no, Amazing Spider-Man, no, Black Cat, Captain Marvel, Conan, Serpent War, Deadpool, no, Excalibur, no, so far nothing here. Fallen Angels, Ghost Rider, Ghost Spider, my son still reads Ghost Spider, so he will keep reading that. This one so far hasn't jumped off a cliff like Future Foundation or Champions or any of those that have just turned terrible. Immortal Hulk. Oh, great. So there's another one for me to be behind on. So I need to go back, try to catch up more on those. Let's see. Magnificent Miss Marvel. No. Marauders reprint. Marvel's Avengers Thor. Okay, this is another video game tie-in. Gamerverse, we can see over here. This is for the new Marvel's Avengers video game. Probably not going to pick that up, though, because I don't really care about that stuff. Marvel's X. This is written by Alex Ross? Huh. All right. Well, Marvel's was a series I thought was really interesting when it came out, and I liked the premise. But, again, I'm not a fan of Alex Ross's artwork. And Alex Ross as a person is kind of a dick. So I'm really not going to be interested in checking out his book. Miles Morales, The End, the final Miles Morales story. Don't believe it. This is probably one of these what if in the future things. Will not last. Yeah, look, he's wrinkled, all wrinkled in the face. So supposed to be him when he's old, but no, not a fan. Again, gonna let that pass. Morbius, New Mutants, Ruins of Ravencroft, Carnage, no. Savage Avengers, no. Star, what is Star? A character from Captain Marvel. Okay, well, that's why no one knows who that character is. Strike Force, Symbiote Spider-Man, Alternate Reality, Alien Reality, whatever. No, we didn't buy those. My son sometimes likes to get the Spider-Verse stuff, and I was wondering if that was part of Spider-Verse, but it is not. It is trying to modernize the stories of him in the black Venom suit back in the early time of Spider-Man's career. So taking those stories from the 80s or whatever, and trying to bring them forward. But no, Venom, again, Venom, I guess, is another one I'm behind on, but I'm just going to drop it. I'm not interested. I don't think I'm going to catch up because I'm not reading any of the Absolute Carnage stuff. My son has been reading like the main series stuff, but all these tie-ins and stuff, I'm just not interested in getting tied up and all that. So I'm done with Venom, X-Force, and Yondu. So, wow, I have no Marvel comics this week. I have dropped so much stuff, and I'm just so not interested in so much stuff Marvel does. Ghost Spider will be for my son. Immortal Hulk I'll get to eventually, but I just read those digitally. I'm not buying them in paper. So, wow. All right. Dynamite. We've got Elvira, which, yeah, okay. Red Sonja, no. And Vengeance of Vampirella. There are so many. They do so many covers. Now, one thing that's interesting, Elvira, you know, based on a real person, they do these comics, and they've got five covers here. Oh, they have one photo, and it's... Meh, it's all right. There's nothing really cheesecake about it or anything like that, even though that was her whole gimmick. They've got Red Sonja. They've got so many extra covers here. And then they have this photo one, cosplay one, that is so cheesy cheesecake. Then we've got Vampirella. They do a cosplay one, photo one, and it's a little... not quite risque, but you can see there's definitely something going on with the way she's positioned there. For those listening on the audio, you don't need to look at it because in the face, it's not the greatest. But it's so weird to me that Elvira, who is actually a real person that built a character, there's more cheesecake on the artwork that's done to represent her on those covers than on the actual photo cover that they use for the comic. That's interesting to me. I don't know what that says. But I just find that interesting that considering the way these other comics are being marketed, Vengeance of Vampirella, Red Sonja, and Elvira, does Dynamite do any real comics anymore? Are they just... I guess they're all just those nowadays. Boom Studios has a Buffy, and this is part of the Hellmouth thing, right? Yeah, Hellmouth. So for those of you wanting your Angel Buffy fix, you've got that. What is this? A Slayer variant. Oh, okay. So they're doing these Slayer variants. And that's, what is that, Kindra? Was that her name? I watched the first couple seasons of Buffy, but I dropped it after that. The show kind of went off a rail as far as I was concerned after a while. Firefly, you have Magicians, Power Rangers, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They have these variants. Now, there were variants of number one of Power Rangers where it showed the Power Rangers holding their helmets. All standing around. Now the variant is the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles are holding the Power Rangers helmets. But there's four turtles, there's five Power Rangers. So we've got Donatello with the... I guess... Oh, maybe, are they all holding the yellow? Is that what this is? Okay, so they're all holding the yellow Rangers helmet. Okay. So each of the turtles holding the Yellow Ranger's helmet. And then we've got one, which is a group shot of the two teams together. What is this? Okay, so the Yellow Ranger, they tried to make it clear that it's female, but only in a 1 foot area on the chest. Everywhere else, it's almost the exact same body type we see for the male characters. It's almost like they forgot. It's almost like they were doing some other Yellow Ranger from some other incarnation when it was a male, and then at the last minute they were like, oh crap, well put some breasts on it and we'll make it female. That is really kind of awkward. And I don't know what's up with the turtles' faces, but the turtles' faces on this cover are not great. If you were trying to attract someone to the story based on that cover, I don't think they'd want to tune in. Now, that's not the regular number one cover. That was a variant Regular cover looks fine. So, all right. I just want to complain because I like complaining about stuff. Ronin Island, Strange Skies Over Berlin. Okay, so nothing for me from Boom Studios. Now we go back to all of our just random comics. All the other publishers are just mushed together down in this bottom part on Previews World. We've got some Archie 1955. No. We've got, let's see, Boogly Heads. Not sure what that is. Dark Red from Aftershock. Nothing from Aftershock has ever really... They've tried so hard, and so many of their books have tried to be controversial. They try to be like this new Vertigo, the way Image tries to do, you know, like, I don't know. Just trying to act like they're the mature adult comics and doing these themes and whatever. But they all come off as just so cheesy and cheap. They're shocking for the sake of shocking, not because it's telling a good story and they just need the freedom to. A lot of these... otherwise, they just turn out bad. They're just terrible. Rural Vampire Chip, Urban War in the Streets of Chicago... so it sounds like it's taken from Redneck a little bit there. We got Doctor Who, which of course no one cares about the 13th Doctor nowadays. Dog Eaters. Dragonfly Man. Okay, this one's okay. This is the two universes, alternate universes of these Batman stand-ins. This has been a pretty fun series. Now, this just started a new... I don't know if this is second volume, third volume. I don't remember exactly. But number 3 of 5. I haven't read 1 and 2. So I do need to get into this series. I need to track those down and read them. Because I did enjoy the first series quite a bit. So I need to look into that a little bit more. Ignited from Humanoids. So you know that it's bad. Let's see. Knights Temporal. Lady Death with a whole bunch of covers. Xenoscopes there. Yeah, okay. Nightmare Before Christmas Zero's Journey 15. Wow, that is still going? I am surprised that that is still going. I didn't realize that was going to... I thought that was going to be like a 5-issue thing. Psylords from Valiant. I don't know anybody who's reading that. Red Agent, Island of Dr. Moreau from Xenoscope. No. You know what those books are about, and they never... Never seemed to go anywhere beyond that. Robotech, RV9, Scratcher. No, I'm not seeing anything. Bunch of junk, absolute garbage. Tank Girl, Tarot. Wow, so not a lot of comics for me. This is going to be a very small week. So my daughter is going to have a My Little Pony. My son's going to have a Spider-Gwen. But as far as paper comics this week... Books that I'm actually going to buy for my collection and keep. We're looking at Gideon Falls. We're looking at Batman. I'll have one of those. That Brave and the Bold reprint. Definitely going to make sure I pick that up. And Marvel had a couple True Believers in here for Moon Knight. Might or might not on that one. Moon Knight number 1 from 1980. I might grab that just because. But then they do have an Avengers Criminally Insane Masters of Evil number 1 reprint Avengers 1963 number 6. So that one definitely, Zemo and the Masters of Evil, definitely will buy that one. Not sure about the Moon Knight. So, man, only a few comics. That's crazy. I wonder if I've got any collectibles or anything coming in since this is not a week for comics for me. Not 100% sure. Okay, well, as far as that goes, not a lot going on in the world of comics this week. And it's kind of a shame. I keep withdrawing a little bit more. There are gems to be found, but you really have to hunt for them. One thing I did get recently, this is from Kickstarter. Overground Comics a few years ago started printing monthly comics. John Hughes was the guy's name who was behind it. He had all these books in the same superhero universe. All of the books were meant to be short series, 5-6 issues, whatever. And, you know, if a character died, they were dead. Characters would age, whatever. It was really interesting. He had some really great concepts, but it just, it could not find its hold in the marketplace. It's one of those things where if you had had a money man behind it, like, oh man, I can't think, the company that did, Sojourn, CrossGen. Like, if you had a cross-gen type of money man behind it, you know, willing to invest, throw some money, I think it probably really could have been a big force in comics pushing forward. I think it really had some good ideas. But nonetheless, it did end up eventually ceasing production. So he did some Kickstarters to finish off some of the series to collect them into trades. This is the America. America was not my personal favorite series, but for a lot of people that did collect the Overground comics, this was one of theirs. She was an interesting character in which she didn't feel pain, and so she had a hard time really having that empathy with normal people. So she tried really hard to try to connect with people. It was interesting, but I did like some of the other books just a little bit better than that one specifically. But it was, again, it was interesting, so I went ahead and put down for the collection. There was another one that they did called Plus Ultra. I liked that one a little bit more. Part of it was the artwork, a guy named Matthew Weldon, who now does a book called Punchline through Antarctic Press, maybe? That one was a little more fun. I liked that one a little more. But some of the stuff, some of the other team books that they did with superheroes, I found to be super interesting. I liked that stuff, but unfortunately the demise of the company put an end to those stories, and I really enjoyed them. So I did back that on Kickstarter, and I did get that recently. So pretty happy with having that. I also got a box from the Nostalgia Nerd not too long ago. It had a tea bag, which my son took, and there was something else. I forget what it was. I think it was a pin or a button of some type that, again, my son took. There was, so he signed the little card, sent it to me. That was cool. Got a couple of these stickers, Nostalgia Nerd stickers to throw on something. A sucker, some candy. That's nice. What did we get? We got a pencil, which says cassette rewinding tool. So those of you that remember dealing with cassettes, you would stick this in. And in fact, I've got... So, okay, let me give a little visual demonstration. For those of you on the audio, I'll try to narrate this a little bit. Let's say that you had an audio cassette. Let's say, in fact, that you have an audio cassette player sitting right here at your desk, which I do. So let's say you listen to cassettes. Sometimes the cassette, the way it worked is that you had these two reels, okay? So you had a spool of magnetic tape that was rolled around. And what it would do is it would unwind the tape and wind it onto the other reel. And as the tape went by a reading head, it would then read the information off and turn it into music. Sometimes you would have something get caught in your player. It wouldn't be able to feed the magnetic tape through, so you would have a loop that would come out, or, you know, maybe you threw these in the backseat of your car or on the floor of your room. You'd pick them up later, they'd been stepped on or knocked around, and some of the tape had come out. You could take your pencil and stick it through the hole, and because there are little spokes that were inside that the cassette player would grab onto in order to spin it, you could take a pencil, which is what this is. It says cassette rewinding tool because you would take it and throw it inside the spokes and you could spin it. Depending on how strong the tape was, you might have to put a little bit of elbow grease into it, but regardless, you could use that to then... I'm winding it the wrong way. I'm actually making it loose instead of tight. So then you could wind it up and move it like that. It was very handy. I used to like to make mixtapes. A lot of people did who didn't. And my player, when I would hit stop, it would actually roll a little bit. Like it would stop recording, but roll. And so then if you hit to start recording again, you would have this like pop, this loud pop sound as it stopped recording and then started again for the second one. So I would actually pull it out and use one of these to roll it back just a little bit, then put it back in, hit record, and you had this nice little seamless recording going back. We used to spend a lot of time in the 80s and 90s making mixtapes. That was the thing to do. You didn't have an MP3 playlist, so you made mixtapes. So, cassette rewinding tool. That's cool. We have an ink pen here with the Nostalgia Nerd logo. Very similar to the type of thing that car dealerships and whatnot would give out. What else do we have? We have a 3D printed recycling bin. So, from the old Windows desktop, well, the current Windows desktop, every Windows desktop, because they couldn't have the trash can, because that's what the Mac OS had. They did the recycling bin, and so he has a little 3D printed recycling bin here that's, I guess, just to go on your desk. So you'd have it on your desktop, just like your computer. The Nostalgia Nerd official membership card, which looks like an old floppy diskette. Which is pretty nifty. We have a pack of stickers from Mindwave Seals, and these are old 80s office supplies. So you have a chair, you have an address book, you've got some old computers, fax machine, diskette, calculator, desk lamp, filing cabinets, things like that, just for no reason. I don't know why you would use these. Maybe write somebody a letter and steal the envelope with it? I don't know. He threw a wallet in here, a PlayStation wallet. Looks like the gamepad on this side and the PlayStation buttons on the other. And then on the inside it has the select, start, and card things. It's an okay wallet. The one I use has a pull-out piece in the middle that I put my ID in and my main debit card, so if I don't want to take my whole wallet with me somewhere, if I'm traveling or something, don't want to take everything with me, I can just pull out that little thing. But I don't know, maybe I can put the little thing in there, maybe it's compatible, I don't know. And then for the ZX Spectrum, which they always call it, we would call it, of course, the ZX Spectrum here in the US, this game called Nightmare. He actually covered this on an episode of the show. So he actually bought this for an episode of his show on his YouTube channel, and then sent it to me, and it is on cassette, so I can use my cassette rewinding tool. I do not have a Spectrum. I've used Spectrum emulators. I know last year or the year before they tried some sort of Kickstarter campaign. Someone made one. It was very low quality. Had a lot of complaints about it. This was a game based off a, I believe it was a game show, if I remember correctly. Nightmare, official computer version of ITV's adventure game show. That's right. So he did a thing about games based off these shows, these afternoon TV shows and whatever. And so here's the cassette for it. It's a neat collectible thing. I wish I had a Spectrum. I do have the Commodore 64 Mini that was re-released. I'd like to buy the new one, the one that's the actual keyboard, and it's the size for it. I would like to get one of those eventually when they come to the United States. I love old computers. Like if someone has an old ZX Spectrum sitting around, and you want to get rid of it, or you have an old Apple IIe, or you've got a Tandy, or you've got a Commodore 64 or 128, or an Atari ST400, or, you know, anything sitting around, you got an old computer sitting around you want to get rid of, I'll be more than happy to take it. I love playing with old computers and computer stuff. So this is a nifty thing, even though I can't really do anything with it because I don't have the machine for it. This is a fun, nerdy piece to throw on a shelf, although my shelves, as you can see, are full of the stuff that I collect and buy anyway. So that's not really going to be a lot of help in finding something to add on the wall behind me. So, all right, that's pretty much going to do it for today. There's not a lot going on other than the fact that if you haven't seen Ricky Gervais's video from the Golden Globes last night, you should watch it and then keep that in mind whenever anyone else says whatever they're going to say. I know that an actress said some stuff last night and people were like, oh, well, she's one to talk about morality. It's very interesting the way he said he didn't care anymore. He'd done it for 5 years. It's the last year he's going to do it. He didn't care anymore, and he just went off on the deep end and said everything he wanted to say about a lot of those people in Hollywood. And I highly recommend you find that and watch it because it is fantabulous. Otherwise, though, this is a comic podcast day, so we talked about comics. That's going to do it. I'm not going to waste a whole lot more of your time, but I want to thank you guys for watching. Some of you have been asking about laptops, and you want more laptop videos like I did with the Evo laptop last year. I do have a small Dell Ultrabook, netbook, really, that I'll talk about a little bit on some video, and then I do have a Chewy Hero book. That was sent to me that I will do a video on at some point in the future. I probably will do those as more of a package, not as a Nerd News Desk podcast type thing, but as one of those actual video ones. But that's going to be a matter of getting my... I have an Elgato video capture thing. I've got to get it all plugged back in and get everything set up so I can record some of the footage off there to do that video. But nonetheless, you guys have been asking about that stuff, so I will talk about that going forward. I did one a while ago talking about a laptop buying, what you should look for and how to get some good deals, but some of you have asked more basic questions of just what do I look for and what are some of the things to find. So we'll do that. Maybe tomorrow's episode, maybe Thursday's episode, we will sit and talk about what to look for when you're buying a laptop. What are some of the things? Obviously, you can go out and spend $1,200 and get a fantastic laptop. You can spend $500-$600, get a really good one. But if you're going to spend $200, $300, is there something in that range? What are the type of things you look for? What are some of the things that say to you, this might be worth my time to grab? You're not going to get a great gaming machine. You're not going to be playing the latest AAA titles on it. That's just not going to happen. But for a decent machine. So you're not afraid, because that's the thing. A lot of people are afraid to buy certain things because they don't know what they're looking for, and there are things to avoid. So we're going to talk about some of that stuff, some of the things that are available, why you should not get them, and what are some of the things to look for, and when it's time to jump. When you see something on sale at a particular price that has certain things for it, it's time to jump on that. So we will talk about that in the next couple days, so make sure you stay tuned to that. Also, one last thing. I did get an email from someone who wanted more That New Toy Smell recaps. 2 years ago at Christmas time, I took the first four episodes. That New Toy Smell originally was released episodically. So you had four 10-minute chunks that would come out in the month, and they would come together to make one episode. And that was because at the time, YouTube had a 10-minute limit. You could only do 10 minutes at a time. So originally what we would do is we would film those 10-minute chunks. And then we went to Blip TV, and Blip, you could do a long one. So then we started doing them as long, 40, 30-minute episodes, whatever, on Blip, and then we would cut them into chunks to put them on YouTube. Then eventually YouTube got rid of the restriction, and you could do long ones, and we just did the long ones. Well, a lot of the episodes are gone. They've just disappeared. You can't find them anymore. Some of them were only ever on Blip. They somehow didn't make it to YouTube, or for one reason or another, they disappeared. There were times when YouTube would just lose videos from time to time. Back in the early days, it happened before Google really came in and took over and turned it into a thing. So some of them just seem to be gone forever. But I do have some old hard drives I've been going through. I do have some old snippets from different shows. So what I may do is try to piece some together that are, they're not going to be the actual episode 5, episode 6, whatever. But I can take a toy review chunk from this episode and one from this episode. I can find some of these pieces, put together a half hour, 40 minute thing, throw it up there, and then you guys can find that stuff. So I will try to do some of that stuff, so keep an eye on this channel and the Pop Culture Network channel, wherever you happen to watch those videos. So again, thanks for watching, guys. I'm not going to ask you to like. I'm not going to ask you to subscribe. I'm not going to ask you to hit that bell. I'm not going to ask you to support my Patreon, which I don't even have. All I'm going to ask you to do is remember this one thing.
You're watching the best-looking guy on the internet.